All right, we are back here on Sports Phone KMBR. Kerry Crowley rolling with you just a little bit longer this evening until 9 o'clock. We've spent most of the show discussing second half predictions for the San Francisco Giants, but I would be remiss if I went all 3 hours without talking Golden State Warriors basketball. And here to help us do that, a man who's visited us quite a bit on Sports Phone this offseason, former college basketball player, NBA analyst, Michael Loganoff. Mike, how are you this evening?
Doing great, Kerry. Thanks for having me on, as always. How are you?
Oh, doing well on my end. Really looking forward to this conversation. A bunch of different things happening in the world of Warriors basketball right now. But let's go big picture first and talk some broad strokes. And I want to pick your brain a little bit about who you think the most impactful addition to the Warriors roster is from this offseason, because they've made a handful of moves. Obviously, they've lost Klay Thompson and Chris Paul. But of the guys that they've brought in so far, who do you think can have the most positive impact next season?
Oh, that's a great question, Kerry. That's a great question. I think, I'm going to go with Melton, I think, because he has the ability to be our point of attack defender, and has the ability to shoot the three really well. He has his length and athleticism. Coming off an injury, you know, hopefully he's able to compete for the majority of the season and not only play 35-ish games as he played for the Sixers last year. But I think, and I say Melton primarily because there is the chance that out of those three, he gets slotted into the starting lineup, I think, more often than Buddy Hield or Kyle Anderson. I think Kyle might once in a while be slotted into the starting lineup, depending on injuries, to be a small ball center for us. But I really see Kyle Anderson as being a guy who's going to come in, run that second unit, and then equally Buddy Hield as being an option to, you know, be a scorer off the bench and be a shooter off the bench for us. But I think Melton, depending on lineups and really depending on whether or not they want to have Pajemski in the starting lineup, I think Melton has the opportunity to be a starter. So if he's starting on a day in and day out basis, I would say he probably will be the most impactful for us this year.
Yeah, I like that pick, especially if he's able to stay healthy. I definitely agree with that. And I want to pick your brain about Pajemski in a moment. But before I do that, just as you look at the roster right now, Mike, you know, pre any potential blockbuster trade, obviously we'll get into some Lowry Markkanen discussions and maybe even Zach LaVine discussions. But do the Warriors have enough depth at the point guard position right now behind Steph Curry? Can Pajemski be that guy? And how do you assess their overall depth and roster composition right now?
So this year, I think we have a very, very deep roster, right? I mean, we have just the Warriors have a lot of guys right now, right? They have a lot of people who can play, a lot of guys who can compete. And I think that's a good thing, right? But equally, it gets to a point of, you know, who's really going to be playing the bulk of our minutes, you know, because NBA players, you have to be able to get into a rhythm and a flow of the game. And, you know, if you're playing 3-4 minutes at a time or 5 or 6 minutes at a time, it's tough to really get into that rhythm. And I think that can really disrupt some players. I think, you know, we see it with Wiggins. He's a rhythm shooter. As he's starting to get a feel for the game, his shots tend to drop more, as opposed to if he's, you know, playing 3 or 4 minutes and then he's pulled out and then he has to slow down and then he has to refine his rhythm. And so I think we have a lot of guys that are going to compete, but compete for minutes, I should say. But, you know, I think as I take a step back and think about Pajemski and his role, he's going to have to be that primary ball handler in the second unit, I think. And that could mean he's a starter, right? Mm-hmm. It could mean he's playing alongside Steph in that starting five. But I think given his youth and his ability to handle the ball and kind of create, he'll probably be on the floor longer than most of the other starters, right? You could see him maybe playing into that 3-4 minute mark in the first quarter, and then Melton comes in, and then you're going to have Kyle Anderson, and then maybe you're bringing in, you know, Steph again later on in the towards the tail end of the first, and he gets a break at the end of the quarter there. And so I think it's going to be a really interesting composition to see how they really find that right lineup, because ultimately too, thinking about starting lineups, I think it's at the point now where Kuminga just has to start, right? If we're going to be rolling out with him. And I think it's just that debate is over. Yeah. And so then you think, is it going to be Steph and Pods and then Wiggins, Kuminga, and Dre? Is that what we're going to roll with? Or are we going to bring Wiggins off the bench? So I think the coaching staff, they really have a bit of a doozy for them, you know, really trying to figure out how are they going to structure this team appropriately? Because as great as Dre is playing that small ball five, having him battle with the likes of AD and Jokic over and over again every single night, it's just going to have a lot of wear and tear on his body too, because he's getting up there in age. We know he's had back problems, and it's just a matter of keeping him healthy, as long as he keeps his head straight and is able to stay on the floor too.
It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. You get style. You get features. You get quality and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare. In-store or at mybobs.com.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
We see money inefficiency, OG, around us all the time. We've got a few skeletons sitting out in the open, and maybe we need to broom them into the closet, if you know what I mean.
Nope, take that out.
What is...
Whatever you were going for didn't land right.
Who's got a shovel and some lime?
Maybe you need to do that with your financial picture. I don't know.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Yeah, absolutely. Some good analysis. Michael Loganoff, former college basketball player, NBA analyst here locally, discussing the Golden State Warriors here on the UMA guest line. And Mike, these discussions about roster composition and fit are all potential blockbuster trade. We know that the Warriors are interested in Lauri Markkanen of the Utah Jazz. At what point of the summer do you think a trade could get done? Is it that August 6th date when we know that Markkanen has some contract situations going on with the Jazz that could guarantee him some more money? Or do you see the Warriors, you know, getting a little antsy and wanting to figure something out for their roster? How do you see all of this unfolding?
So I think that August 6th date, Kerry, is really that's kind of the first domino that needs to fall, because if Markkanen signs on August 7th, he's not eligible to be traded before the trade deadline next year. And mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of conversations happening in Utah and figuring out, not only because I think there's been some reports about Markkanen wanting to play there he wants to be there. He likes Utah to the point where his family likes living in Utah. His family likes the weather and he's happy there, and so he wants to stay. And those are all dynamics. I mean, NBA players, yeah, we watch them and we cheer for them, but they're people too. And so those dynamics are, you know, they need to be also taken into account. But, you know, if he decides to re-sign with Utah, that obviously changes some cap dynamics as well. But it's really that August 6th deadline. And, you know, if he re-signs before August 6th, I wouldn't also be surprised, frankly, if the Warriors don't necessarily even make a move this summer. Mm-hmm. What wouldn't surprise me is if they roll with the lineups that they have now, or with the roster they have now, I should say, and see how the team progresses, right? Is Kuminga really taking that leap? You know, yeah. Is he proving people on both sides right and wrong, right? People that think he can really be that number two option, and then people who are a little bit more hesitant, like me, frankly, who think that, you know, he's more of a three. And then is Pajemski going to make that jump and kind of have an elite sophomore year following his just fantastic rookie campaign? Is Trace Jackson Davis going to make a jump, right? How are all these pieces going to fit together? And then maybe we'll see, you know, having those veteran pieces that we have. We talked about this a little bit the other week of, you know, that is indicative that some of these younger guys might be on the move, or maybe they're willing to package that with some picks or some of the veterans too. And so maybe they're going to take a little bit slower and more patient approach, because I think Lacob was also quoted equally. Yes, you know, we want to make a move. We want to compete for Steph, but it'd be naive and foolish to just totally, completely mortgage the future entirely. And so there's something to be said for that, but I think it's really going to kind of depend on what Markkanen does, and then if he does re-sign at all with the Jazz.
Yeah, very well said. And an interesting dynamic, all, you know, of course, taking place with this Utah Jazz situation and Lauri Markkanen. Will they trade him? Will they not? And Mike, I think there's a few other things at play here, because if you're the Warriors, you want to give up draft picks. You don't want to give up current players and maybe a part with Moses Moody. But if you're the Jazz, you want both draft picks and current young guys who you can build around. Maybe it's Kuminga. If they're, you know, taking as big of a shot as they possibly can, then maybe they'll settle for Pajemski. But I don't see the Warriors being willing to move Brandon Pajemski. It feels like they like him too much, and he's too valuable with their current roster to just say, hey, we'll throw him in there, get Lauri Markkanen back, and then all of a sudden the Warriors have some guard depth issues. So it doesn't feel to me like Pajemski can be involved in any sort of a deal, right?
I would agree with that. I think the Warriors are just, I mean, they're rightfully so. They're in love with what they saw from Pajemski last year, and they're in love with what they saw from Kuminga and taking that huge leap that he took last year, right? I mean, they both really took steps. And I think taking those dynamics into consideration and tying that into what we talked about with Utah and Markkanen, if Lowry doesn't re-sign, and that's indicative of the fact that, okay, maybe he doesn't want to be in Utah long-term, or maybe their timelines between player and organization are not aligned, right? And Utah's not willing to offer him a large contract. So taking those two things into consideration, Danny Ainge, as notorious as he is of a businessman in this industry, is going to be stuck with the question of, do I let him potentially walk for nothing, or do I try and get some assets, right? And so that's why these next few weeks are crucial, because if Lowry does not re-sign, then that's going to somewhat force Utah's hand, right? And that's when I think that we might be able to have a very attractive deal of Moody, GP2, and Loon for salary filler reasons, and then draft picks. And it's funny that you bring up the pick or the draft pick scenario there too, because I was actually doing some research and reading online. There's this fantastic site called 82games.com run by Aaron Barzilai. He did some analysis on the actual value of draft picks. Mm-hmm. And so this is a little bit dated, but if you take the first overall pick, Carey, and then compare that to even the sixth overall pick, the first overall pick's value is 35% more valuable than that of the sixth overall pick. And so that's an entirely exponential curve, and it just gets, you know, more and more pronounced as the curve goes on. So even the 30th pick in the first round, is the first pick has a 400% more value than the 30th pick.
Yeah.
And so when you're thinking about that, and that's just in the current year, when you know the draft class, right? We don't know players that might be coming out in 2029 or 2030 or 2031. So that uncertainty even further, you know, increases the dynamics there with the valuation of those picks, right? So you have so much uncertainty. So how do you actually value those, right? And so then you kind of get to that conversation of, okay, yeah, maybe it does make sense. If we can keep JK and Pajemski and make a deal for Markkanen with future picks and maybe some swaps, I think the Warriors have to do it, because then you're able to have that perfect balance of a young player who's still in his prime with Markkanen, a rising core of youth with BP and JK, and then that wonderful medley of veterans all around them. So if we're able to do that, and if we're able to, you know, trade some future picks and make that happen, I think they just have to do it in the front office.
It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. You get style. You get features. You get quality and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare. In-store or at mybobs.com.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Good to see you, Bruce Feldman. The Big 12 landscape. I just know how Dion is, where he's coming from. His wins are measured differently. The question is, as you said, it's got to go from 4 to 8.
I think they can do that. It would be hard not to get better considering how bad they were on the offensive line last year. Now, their schedule actually feels harder this year than it was last year.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yeah, great perspective. And look, I'm one who's often reluctant to trade future picks, because I think that this is a Warriors organization that it feels old in terms of the star power with Steph and Draymond. But you've convinced me, Mike, that, you know, grabbing Lowry Markkanen when he's available right now and maybe giving up some of those draft picks, there's value in that type of move. So I want to end on this note. Team USA basketball playing this summer, searching for another gold medal at the Olympics. Steph Curry teaming up with LeBron James for the first time in their respective careers on a grand stage. What do you think about this whole spectacle, and what do you like about Team USA, even though it's going to face some incredibly difficult competition in Paris?
Oh, I love this question, Carey. I love this question. And I think first off, for any basketball fan out there, for any American, I think this is just fun. Right. I think it's awesome to see the players who have defined this most recent generation competing together on the world's biggest stage, you know, with LeBron, with Steph, with KD. And then you get some of the young guys too in there. I think it's just so awesome. It's so fun. And it's something that, you know, we've never gotten to see, having all these guys compete together. And so that's just great. But equally, there's been some discussion of, okay, you know, is this team better than the dream team or better than the redeem team, you know? And that kind of, that depends on anyone's preference of players and eras and so on and so forth. So I'm not going to get into that, because I think for every single one of those teams, there was something that was special about them and something that made them so distinct and fun. And we just discussed what makes this current iteration of USA basketball so, so exciting for us all. But I think what needs to be taken into consideration is the fact that, you know, the dream team, basketball was just starting to go global. Mm-hmm. The redeem team was competing when, you know, it had kind of reached its initial plateau, if you will, right? With the likes of some Europeans like Dirk was competing, or the Gasol brothers, or even Manu down in Argentina. And you had this kind of first elite true crop of international talent. But now we're seeing MVPs left and right in the NBA that are from overseas, with the Jokic's of the world, with the Giannis's of the world. And we're going to have to compete with those guys. And let's not forget about our neighbor in the north, in Canada.
They've got a great squad.
Yeah, they have a team that is full of NBA players. So all of these teams that we will be competing against have all professional players. And that can't be understated. Even in that game against Australia the other day, I think we won by, 6 points, I think, 98-92. And you saw players like Josh Giddey, who is a starting point guard, former OKC Thunder member, now on the Bulls, competing and scoring buckets and really getting up and down the floor and leading his team to compete. And so when you have NBA players competing against NBA players, anyone can have a good day, and someone's shots can be dropping, and that can be a total difference maker. So while this team is so awesome and so fun to watch with Steph and LeBron and KD and everyone else, it's not going to be a cakewalk. We're not going to just be able to waltz into Paris, blow everyone's doors off by 30 or 40 points. There's going to be some games that we really have to compete.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Today, Steph Curry, 24 points in a 105-79 win over Nikola Jokic and Serbia. Serbia, a formidable squad. As long as you've got Jokic, couple-time MVP award winner, that's a good win for Team USA, and always a good win. Always a good win for us when we get Michael Loganaw's basketball perspective here on KNBR. Log, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Of course. You're too good to me, Kerry. Thank you, as always.
All right, more coming up next. I will wrap up this evening's show. A couple more Giants thoughts when we come back. You're listening to KNBR 104.5 680, the sports leader. Boom.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have, I've gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.